Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Hex 19 Geekcast, episode 28. Hex 19 Geekcast is the official podcast of Hex19.com. We're just a geek culture website. We cover everything from TV to movies, video games, even board games.
A lot of Halo on there.
A lot of Halo. So, yeah, we're just gathering here today to talk some geek. I've got all my regular hosts with me, Brett Commander.
I'm wearing a Christmas sweater.
You are.
It's an ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, it's quite fetching, I'd say.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Aaron Rahan is also here.
That's me.
Yes. And Glenn Meyer.
Hello.
Yay,
me.
And I'm Yuri Walkie. So, big show today. As our main topic, we're going to be covering the Spike VGAs. Not so much talking about the awards as the announcements that were made there, which is strange for an award show, but...
With Spike, you don't can't really like take it that seriously,
yeah.
But people, for whatever reason, like to advertise on it because it's what it is, so...
Mm.
I think that is the most important thing to take away from it.
Yeah, so we're excited to talk about that. We got big news. Louis C.K. is making waves this week. SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, is... being passed through United States government.
Is it working through? It's getting there?
We'll talk about that later on our news segment.
Scary.
Yeah. But first of all, we're going to get into our regular first segment, The Mana Pool, where we talk about what we've been up to. Welcome to the Mana Pool. We are talking about what we've been up to in the world of geek. Glenn, get us started.
Me? Okay, what did I do? I already forgot my list.
You already forgot.
Yes.
Can I just go
No, I'll go.
Should we restart?
No.
We're not backing out?
No.
This is all usable.
That was intended to be a part of the Hex 19 experience.
Witty banter.
Thum Mike.
Yes, Thum Mike. So, we'll start with a mod. And a reason to get Skyrim on the PC.
Okay.
Which is Thum Mike, which I just discovered the other day. Someone posted a link on Reddit. And it's awesome. What it lets you do is say a dragon shout, and then your character does it in-game, just using your PC mic or anything like that. So, they have integration for like half of them so far or something. It works pretty well. There's a little bit of lag between when you say it and when they do it, which... makes sense. But I'm really excited to see where they go from here, because they were talking about adding things like whistling for your horse.
Ooh.
Or walking up to someone and saying hail instead of pressing E or whatever to talk to them.
It's awesome.
So yeah, it's awesome.
So when you say a dragon shout, does then your character also say
that's what I'm
wondering. Mute out?
No. There's a thing included that mutes.
That is so smart. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like with Mass Effect 3 and whatnot, they have that kind of thing, but some people were saying it's weird, or like on the Totally Ratchet, they were saying like, I wish that like when I say a thing, that my character then would say that thing. But for me, yeah, it would be weird to just be like, say a thing, and the character says a thing, because it's clearly not me saying it, so why am I saying it?
Yeah, I think Mass Effect though handles it pretty well, because you like say something,
and then they say something else.
That's kind of your thing, but not really.
Yeah.
And it seems like some of the stuff in Mass Effect is more in combat situations where your guy isn't actually going to say something in the game after.
Yeah.
Like you're giving your squad orders.
It's a cool trend.
Yeah. I haven't tried it out a whole lot because my game started crashing because I installed a portion of it improperly, but...
And it probably just can't hear you over your PC. Just like glaring.
Oh god, that thing is loud.
Yeah, I saw that same video. I just thought it was cool how you can, like, just saying the different... You have to, like, actually say the words, and depending on how many words you say, and it activates all the shouts just based on how you...
You can do, like, Fus, Fus, Ro, or Fus, Ro, Da.
That's awesome.
And without, like, without having to change or said anything, you can say all the other shouts. So it's like, Fus, and it's that, or you say, I don't know the words, like, Creo, and it's like the Fire Blast, or Odaving, and it summons a dragon.
Yol is fire,
okay.
Yeah, and, like, I think what's actually cool about that is that it actually might give you more control over it, because I know just on the Xbox, it's hard to do. Like, if you want to do a shout, you have to, like, tap it if you want to do it, but I just have the reflex to just hold it. So I'm always just doing, like, a full shout, and so with that, I can't be, like, strategic in that. But if I'm able to then pinpoint select of how much I want to do, that gives me a lot more control over shouts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to see what they can do with it in the future. Next, picked up a new game, Trine 2, which I've been waiting for a while.
Woohoo.
Did I talk about this last week?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
If anything,
we mentioned it, but I don't think we talked.
I think you said you were getting
it. Yeah, you did.
Did I talk about it?
I think you had just gotten it, so you didn't really say much.
Oh, right, I was going to talk about it more, because I finished the game.
Yeah.
It gets a lot better.
Oh, yeah, you were saying it was, like, underwhelming at first. Yeah. Because you loved the first one, and this one wasn't that. Yeah. They changed a bit. So has it warmed on you?
It has. I think my issue with it was that I hadn't put any points into the wizard's tree skill things, which lets you create more boxes and more planks and stuff.
I didn't realize there was an RPG element.
Yeah, it's each different character you have has like a tree that you can put points into.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I think the best thing about the wizard is that if you max out his tree, you can put down like 4 different objects, which includes boxes or planks. And using those, you can skip over a lot of puzzles. So, like,
What?
There was one level where it was just timed platforming puzzle after time platforming puzzle after time platforming puzzle, like, over and over and over again. And I hate those.
Okay.
So, what I would do instead is, like, you pull a lever, a platform would go up, but after a certain amount of time, it would fall back down again. But I would, like, wedge planks underneath it to hold it up, because it's a physics-based game, yeah. So that worked.
That's cool.
So, like, you can skip all of the puzzles you don't like, and that makes the game so much better.
Yay!
Yeah, it's a great game. Way shorter than I was expecting, though. I don't know.
Shorter than the first?
Longer than the first, but okay. That's not saying a whole lot.
Okay.
Still good for $15, or whatever it was. Then picked up Cobalt last night. Just went on sale. It's the new Oxeye game, published by Mojang.
Oxeye?
What? Yes, it's a studio that Jeb and some other guys are
okay.
in. I love the multiplayer.
Oh, wait, is this that game at PAX? Yeah. The, like, fighting thing? The weird 2D platformer? I forget even what it was.
Yeah, it was, like, a 2D platforming shooter thingamajiggy.
Yeah.
The multiplayer's fun. I tried that at PAX, where Jeb kicked my ass at it.
That's awesome.
But right now they just have the alpha out. They're doing the same thing as Minecraft, where you buy it early.
Yeah.
And they release updates. Single player isn't that great. It doesn't have the same appeal as multiplayer. And unfortunately, I don't think that they're planning to add online multiplayer. Which is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're not doing it because it's too hard or something, which doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna have, like, it's weird, especially when it's, because this is just a PC game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, Jamestown did the same, or, like, Jamestown has that same thing where it's, like, 4-player co-op game, but it's weird to do on a PC. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's weird that they're not doing that, then, if it's all about the multiplayer experience.
Yeah, well, it's also meant to be used with Xbox controllers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm enjoying that. Single player isn't great, though.
Is it just you versus AI?
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to...
Well, no, okay, no, I should have clarified. There's no, like, story mode with, like, puzzles.
I think that something. There is a campaign mode. If there is, I haven't tried it. I've just played survival.
Okay. Because I'm picturing it just like Perfect Dark. There had like a game where it's like you're playing just against bots. Badges. Yeah, that's what I meant.
There is going to be a campaign, though.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. And then finally, Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, God.
I got it a week early, and I've been playing it constantly.
Oh, so it's like out?
No, it's out. The global
release. For Glenn, it's out. Yeah, it's yeah. out. Holy crap.
It comes out on the 20th. I've had it since the 13th.
That's amazing.
I know. It's so awesome. The game is awesome. PvP... I like it so much more than WoW. Flashpoints, I think, are better than WoW. PvE combat is about the same as WoW, but then you add the story in for all the quests and all the voice acting and stuff. And, oh, it's such a good game.
So what are you playing as?
I have a level, I think, 15 Jedi Knight and a level 27 Bounty Hunter Mercenary.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So wait, so is it... I actually have no idea how these things work. Do you have to get separate subscriptions for different characters?
No.
Oh, okay.
You do not pay $17 a month for each character.
That's literally what I thought that was.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like,
no.
When people say, like, they have multiple characters, I thought that they have multiple, like, accounts.
You have, like... as many characters as you want
per account. Awesome.
Or you're limited to like 8 on one server.
Okay.
Or something.
Yeah, I seriously had no idea. That's so cool, man.
Yeah. So yeah, it's awesome. I am loving the Bounty Hunter right now. I chose the female Bounty Hunter because the voice actor also does voices for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, I think is the game.
Okay.
Which is also awesome.
Can you force choke people yet?
Well, seeing as I'm a Bounty Hunter...
But and you have a Jedi.
Jedi don't force choke.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Jedi don't. That could be a t-shirt. Just Jedi don't force choke.
But there's one thing that's really annoying me about PvP right now. Well, two things. Number one is people don't know what they're doing. So playing putball can be really annoying when people are running the wrong direction or jumping into acid traps.
Okay.
And second of all, there's way too many Jedi.
Well, yeah.
But so many, it's annoying. And I know on Sith, at least half of every player I've seen so far, like 50% of everyone I've seen, is a Sith Inquisitor.
What's that?
Which is, they can go either, like, Mage or Assassin for their two advanced classes. And, like, everyone is going Inquisitor Assassin because they want to be like Darth Maul, because it's the only class that gets the double lightsaber.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, it seems like, because, like, with Skyrim or something, it'd be, because, like, so many people, from what I was reading, although, whatever, were, like, doing stealth and doing, like, stealth archery, and that was just, like, a thing that so many people did. And where if you're doing it by yourself, that's fine, whatever. But when you start hearing, like, everyone's doing it, it's kind of, like, weird.
Yeah.
But at least with that, you're separated. But to then, yeah, be in this world and everyone's doing the exact same thing, it can, yeah, I can see how that would take away from it.
I mean, it's good for me, because I'm, like, ranged area of effect attacks. And since everyone is, like, a melee Sith character, they all tend to bunch up together.
So you can just blast everybody to them.
Yeah. I haven't had a PvP round where I wasn't the top damage dealer.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Nice. And that's it, I think, for me.
Yeah, so this week I got into some Halo Reach, as usual. Whoa. Some actually new developments on the Halo front. Recently they introduced these new player-created challenges. So before they had challenges in the game, they'd have 4 dailies that you can do and then 1 weekly.
And it's like if you do these, you get more experience.
Yeah, you get just bonus credits.
Yeah.
But now what they've actually done is you can create your own custom challenges and complete those.
So immediately when I hear that, my immediate thing is like, oh, so why don't I just make a challenge where it's like get 1 kill and get 10 billion points. Like, it breaks the system. But what they've done is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so you go onto their website. You can also do it through the Waypoint app for mobile devices. So basically you choose a game type that the challenge is going to apply to. Then you choose a challenge type. There's like wins, headshots, kills, medals. And you set a number of how many you have to get and also a time limit of when you have to complete it. And then it assigns a credit value to award based on how difficult that is.
So they actually have like a weighting system of like, if you set an impossible challenge, you're going to get a lot of points. But if you set an easy challenge, then they're going to give you a small amount of points. So either way, it should work out in the end to like about the same thing.
I tend to go for the bigger ones just because it's a pain in the ass setting up the challenges again and again. But... So what happens to me and what makes Halo even more addicting now with these is you can only have 1 challenge of each type going at a time. So I'll try to set up like kills, headshots, and wins.
Yeah.
And try to set each challenge so I'll finish them all at the same time. So it's like, well, I'm going to play it for about an hour. So I think I'll get 100 kills, and probably of those 100, like 30 or so will be headshots. So I'll set 30 for headshots. And I'll probably win 2 games, so I'll set my wins to 2.
See, and actually, just on that, I think that's really cool that you've said, okay, I'm going to play for this hour, like, what are some goals I want to do? And you can actually set those and actually be rewarded for things that you just want to try and accomplish.
Yeah.
For, like, your own skill level.
Yeah, and let's say I'm having a good day for headshots, so I get to, like, 60 kills, but I'm already at 30 headshots, then it's like, I guess I should set up another headshot challenge so I can work on that.
Yeah, because you may as well work on it while you're getting the other 2.
Yeah. So I'll be like, I can probably get 15 more. But but then I don't and finish the other ones, and it's just an infinite loop of making more challenges.
Because you're always thinking, well, I may as well have the three running, because if not, I'm just missing out on experience.
Yeah, and I want but to finish all three at the same time.
See, that part I don't really get, but I can see how it would be addictive of, like, if I have a challenge running, I want to complete that challenge. But if I don't have a challenge running, why don't I have a challenge running? I should set up a challenge.
Yeah, and I also checked out the new Halo Waypoint app, now with Atlas, the kind of Halo GPS type thing. It works as advertised. It shows you the weapon spawns of the map and little dots where your teammates are that move around during the game. If anything, it's a really cool just proof of concept that they can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it's on your phone as stuff is going on screen.
They should make an Xbox adapter that holds an iPhone so you can like do that.
Yeah. No.
Well, because then you have to like, where do you, like, you put it on your lap?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. But,
just
like,
a little thing, that's not cool. A little thing for your controller so it clamps onto the top, so it's just there.
Exactly, that would be badass.
Yeah, just the problem with it is any time during Halo that you spend not looking at the screen is just time wasted.
Yeah.
So, it's really not practical, but it is neat.
Well, yeah, I just think it's cool that you can actually go in and just study the maps if you want. Mm-hmm. So you can, like, for me, like playing with you and some of our other friends, like, you know where rockets are, you know where like shotgun is. But with that, it's like I don't want to. I put no effort into memorizing that stuff, so I feel like I'm at a disadvantage. But I can see myself if it's like, oh, okay, Yuri wants to play Halo tonight. I may as well learn at least something. Yeah,
so you don't get your
it's like okay, well I can. You. Yeah, it's just being or like even in between games, it's like okay, well, I know we might be playing this or like in this playlist, this map has been coming out. I may as well just. Check, where were the rockets again? Oh, okay, I'll run to there next time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cool reference.
Yeah. Also this week, some of the new apps came out for the Xbox dashboard update.
And I didn't know that we were waiting on apps, so I don't know what these are.
The one I just tried out two. I tried out the YouTube app
right.
And the Rogers On Demand video app.
Okay.
Rogers Streaming or something. I forget what it's called. Rogers is just like a cable/phone company in Canada. So YouTube app, not fantastic. The search is terrible. I don't know why they implemented it this way.
Is it not the Bing search or
none of these have voice search for some reason, which is annoying.
Yeah.
Cause like when they first announced it, I thought it would integrate into Bing, like where you could just go to your home Xbox page, and you could search YouTube and whatever, and everything that they have.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said it would do.
But it doesn't do that, and you can't even use voice search just within YouTube. Which, it doesn't really make sense, because it can detect, like, they have that technology to do that.
Okay.
But, and then the keyboard for inputting text isn't, like, the normal Xbox keyboard. Instead, it's a straight line.
Yeah.
Why? It's so much worse.
Yeah, it's just every letter one after another.
Yeah. And like the Y button on the controller has always just been space. But now it isn't. You have to go select space and Y just doesn't do anything.
What the hell?
And then to like accept a search and search for those things, the command you use is close.
What?
It doesn't make... There's no, like, search or go.
Like, well, I was supposed to be, like, live searching as you do it. So maybe that was the point. Or, like, you just, like, go down to do it. I don't know.
That... It wasn't doing that for me.
Okay. Well, I might be thinking of the Bing search, but anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Like... Yeah, I was, like... I typed in what I wanted to search for. Like, nothing popped up or anything. And I was, like, how do... Like, A doesn't do anything. What do I do? And it's just, like, B to close it. And then it shows your search results.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. Then the Rogers app, that was mostly a waste of time. Like, you put in your Rogers account to apparently have access to more things. So I did that and, like, sent me a text,
yeah.
Put in the code or whatever. But it just wasn't, there was nothing on there.
Yeah.
The best thing they have is Mad Men. So I tried doing that just to see what the quality was. On my internet, it was really bad.
Yeah.
One thing I don't understand with all these streaming services is why don't they let you, like, preload things? Because you have all these people complaining about Netflix, where it's like, oh, I can never get HD to work. why can't you download things and watch them later?
Because then because then you could pirate it, Yuri. That's how things work.
That's true. God.
So underwhelming so far with the apps.
Yeah.
Is YouTube at least like, does it look cool? Is it, if you're on a video, is it easy to like check like related videos? Can you get stuck in like the YouTube? I don't even know what you call it. Let's say the YouTube chasm of just going from video to video to video. Does that
I
easy, or you like you?
It's, I didn't. I was so put off no, just, by that. Yeah, I was just like,
couldn't even find the video.
This
you want.
Is a waste of time.
That sucks.
So Aaron, what were you up to this week?
Well, I picked up the latest Humble Bundle.
Yeah,
Humble Bundle 4.
They are just pumping those out.
They are. This one has 7 games if you pay more than average. So it's 5 normal and you get 2 extras. I'll see if I can remember them all. You get Super Meat Boy, Shank, Night Sky, Bit Trip Runner, and Jamestown. And then the 2 extras are Cave Story Plus and Gratuitous Space Battles.
So did you get a chance to play all of them?
Almost all of them.
Really?
I haven't started playing Shank yet. Other than that, I've played like 10 minutes of each of them.
And okay.
A lot of Bit Trip Runner.
Yeah.
Which was really satisfying and also like infuriating at the same time, just because I always die on... It's like I literally just jumped that 50 times a second ago. Why am I dying on it here? It makes me so upset. But it's really cool, and I love the music and how it all flows with the actions. It's really cool. I was really excited, looking forward to Gratuitous Space Battles, because it looked really cool in the trailer, but it was kind of underwhelming. Maybe I just haven't gotten into it enough.
It doesn't get more overwhelming or anything.
Okay.
It doesn't get less underwhelming.
Okay. other than that, Cave Story Plus is looking promising.
Yeah, Cave Story Plus looks... I remember just in the trailer, it's like one of the quotes was... reminiscent of Metroid, or like plays just like Metroid, and yeah, it looks really just like a classic arcade scroller,
yeah,
platformer, like really retro in like every aspect.
Yeah, it's really cool. Other than that, Night Sky is actually I'm really enjoying, and like going into it, I had no real
expectations. So yeah, Night Sky being like the physics game,
it's a physics based platformer.
Like this little ball.
Yeah, you're like a ball, and you roll around, and like every level. It's like you could use A to kind of like slow down and move more precisely, and S does something, whether that's you roll super fast or invert gravity or do all these other things. So it does a lot of different things, and sometimes it doesn't always tell you, so that's part of figuring out what it does. Like,
That's really cool.
Yeah, so like you can do a mode where it always, like a lot of the times it prompts you to be like, you know, press S to invert gravity on this level, or you can do like a challenge mode where it never gives you any tips on anything. What? So like you go into levels like, I can't do this, why the hell can't I figure this out? I was like, oh wait, I never pressed S, and then it's like, whoop, maybe you fly to the roof or something. So yeah, it's just a really cool feel, and like kind of atmosphere in it, I guess, with the music and stuff.
Yeah, it's all like dark, almost limbo-y from what I saw.
Yeah, and I have it on Steam, but if you download it directly like from the website on your computer, there's like an HD version of it, which looks really cool, so I might try that out. Other than that, we've talked about Jamestown before, which I played a bit of. We've probably talked about Super Meat Boy. It's kind of a bigger
thing. I don't think we've ever talked about it, because I've never heard of it.
You haven't heard of it?
Well, I've heard of it, but I had no idea what it was. So, like, when I saw the trailer for it, and I was like, oh my god, it's N+. That's exactly what this is.
It's just, like, a platformer. I found it's really, like, overly sensitive for my liking.
Yeah.
But,
that's part of what the game is.
So I was just really bad at it and played it for 10 minutes and died a lot.
I'd say it's harder than N+.
Yeah, I think just from the way it controls and the way like you're like overly floaty and like super fast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just that same mechanic of wall jumping and stuff and doing crazy things is a lot of fun.
I think that covers all the games.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Then this is completely due to the Xbox app that we got. I got into a weird like Mirror's Edge funk this week, where I was like scrolling through all my achievements on my iPhone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I should like replay Mirror's Edge, because I hardly have any achievements for that. I could totally do that. And then I got all upset because like I don't actually own it, and I borrowed it from a friend and I haven't seen him forever. It's like, oh, I'm never going to see him and get Mirror's Edge to play it again, and there's never going to be a sequel, and that makes me really depressed.
Because there's going to be a sequel.
Well, no one knows for sure, but there could be one.
I thought that they had announced it.
They said they're working on more Mirror's Edge things. So it could be like a book.
I feel like there's no chance in hell of that game getting a sequel.
No, there
it could get a sequel.
I remember reading an article after... what's the engine used for Battlefield?
Frostbite.
After the new BioWare game was announced with Frostbite, I remember reading an article that said Mirror's Edge 2 was going to use the Frostbite engine.
Okay.
So
that'd be cool.
I'd have to double check, but it might be a thing.
There you go.
Okay, well, that'd be awesome, because yeah, well, at the time, I was all upset, because there's never going to be a sequel, and I absolutely love that game, and I think if any game deserves
one, just go buy it, then.
I'm definitely going to. It's going to be my Christmas present to myself, among other things. But yeah, then I found on the App Store, actually, there's a Mirror's Edge app that was free. I don't know if it still is, but it was at the time, and it's really good on iPhone, and it's really awesome on iPad, and you can actually, like, race and stuff on the iPad two-player mode, so I highly recommend it. It really captures what Mirror's Edge is very
well. Yeah, it's
platform.
This game is fairly old at this point, but yeah. It's still just, it's cool to actually see, like, just how they implemented the gestures and stuff, because, like, iPad gaming was still brand new when that came out, so seeing them do it so well and actually feels like you're doing something was really cool.
Yeah, and just, like, the atmosphere and just the graphics for everything is very, they've stuck to the game very well. Yeah,
hearing that it still holds up, still worth checking out, even though it's old, awesome.
Yep, failing at all the speedruns challenges. Other than that, I played a bunch of Skyrim, and I think I'm basically done with it at this point, with this playthrough. All I have to do is reach level 50 for that achievement, and other than that,
do you feel like you've done? So you've done, like, every guild and whatnot?
I finished all the guilds. All the main or the main quest line. I got most of the achievements, so
you've had your fix.
Basically,
I feel like Glenn's been done for a while.
Yeah, I have.
Just okay. Basically at this point, running around casting Muffle constantly to get my to level up.
That's like, exactly what I'm doing.
Nice.
Except I have Muffle in each hand because my armor is so high I can just run by everyone.
Yeah, I got to a point where it's like my heavy armor, one-handed, and blocks are all 100, so using those I can't level up anymore, so I have to do all these other things. So running around and, like, sneak killing people and casting spells everywhere.
Yeah, that's the part in the game where, like, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Yeah, it is actually, I'm actually kind of having fun with, like, the flame spells.
Okay.
It's kind of cool, even though, like, they're really weak, and I don't have any other spells that I can actually, like, use, basically. But I got one perk where it's, like, if you double cast it, it creates, like, a more powerful thing. So it's kind of cool running around, like, flame spelling people. Other than that, that's basically Mirror's Edge 2 confirmed to use Frostbite 2.0 engine.
Yay!
Hooray!
You heard it here first.
That makes me very happy. But yeah, that's basically my week.
You just reminded me I ran into a funny Skyrim glitch this week. First of all, backwards flying dragons. Hilarious.
Wait, what?
Those added in 1.2, and now there's more bugs in 1.3.
Dragons fly backwards.
Yeah, it looks so funny because they're, like, breathing fire at you, but, like, while going away from you backwards. It's so weird.
They're being sucked away.
Yeah. But so I decided to actually get...
Those Nord winds are pretty strong.
Yeah, for that Skyrim tip video, like, I transferred my Xbox save onto my PC and just, like, got married for the purposes of that video. But I legit got married on my Xbox. And so, like, I showed up for the wedding, we got married, and just, like, as soon as the ceremony was done, my wife just, like, bolted and ran away, and I don't know where she went. Like, I went back to the place where, like, I met her, and she's just not there.
That's amazing.
I
took your advice. I got married, and Lydia's body did not reappear.
No?
No. Maybe they fixed. They might have fixed that glitch, so I've completely lost the one dragon mask forever.
I see the crazy of her corpse being like, we brought this for you, because we thought you'd like it.
If you were on PC, you could go to Purgatory. There's a hidden room in the game, just with all of the people that you've killed.
That's awesome. They gotta put them somewhere. Yeah. That's how video games work.
Actually, wait. No. If you want your gear back from Lydia, you can go to the tomb in Whiterun. Yeah. And there'll be, like, a cask or something there that's like, here lies Lydia, and you can take your gear back. I think that's
how it works. I'm going to go do that.
Then. We can do it.
Check it out.
Where? We'll talk later.
Yep.
Hey, so, Brett, what were you up to this week?
I want to mention that because of Aaron's whole thing, I played Mirror's Edge, which is a game I've just, like, had on my Xbox for the longest time. Like, when I first played it, I was underwhelmed by it, but now going back and playing it and realizing, holy crap, it's the first scene of The Matrix, and getting into that mindset of just, like, just run, getting really hectic, and actually getting into the groove of, like, doing these moves and chaining things, because I'm also actually a huge fan of, like, of the Skate series, and because I love skateboarding games, so you can, like, chain things together, and I love that. Mm-hmm. So having that in free running is actually, like, it's really clicked in for me, and I had so much fun. I only played, like, two levels, but Yeah, I should have checked out that game a long time ago.
It's so, so
long overdue. Other than that, I checked out Louis C.K.'s new special, because, yeah, we have a new story about him that relates. But, yeah, it's his new special that he just released on the internet. So you can just go download it for, like, $5, something. And because of the story, I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And, yeah, it's really solid. Classic Louis C.K., his chewed-up specials on Netflix. So I checked that out and loved it. And, yeah, I was very happy with this special. He, like, the production value of it's super high and super awesome, and apparently it's like two shows edited together, so it's like the best of both, and so it's just a really, really solid show. And I found some of the jokes, like, it wasn't continuously laugh out loud as Chewed Up was for me, but there's like one segment that was just like gut breaking, and like I like didn't work during that because I was laughing so hard. So yeah, if you like Louis C.K.'s stuff, definitely check out his new special, especially because it's so cheap and definitely worth it. I think that's pretty much all I did. I checked out. I've been playing more Dishwasher Vampire Smile, which is like a arcade game that came out a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's basically just like a straight up combo beat 'em up that's just super over the top. And it's reminiscent of Castle Crashers and just it being like over the top. I got kind of bored of Castle Crashers pretty quick, and so like when there are still people playing Castle Crashers, like, hey, do you want to play Castle Crashers? I'd be like, yeah, okay, but like wasn't having as much fun. But this is just totally satisfying and awesome and just like over the top. And actually, the story of it's really cool. It's like it's super dark, and you have this guy who's like going insane. So there's like it's cutting between. He's like in a hospital, and it's kind of, and then he's also like in a spaceship. It's just it's really over the top and looks gorgeous. Been playing it in 3D too. So yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Okay, so that does it for the Mana Pool. Next up, the Sit Rep. Welcome to the Sit Rep. This is our news segment here at Hex19.com. We've picked out some of the most interesting geek culture stories to talk about. Starting off with a new Pokemon game that's been announced.
Whoa.
This is a weird one.
Glenn, yeah, Glenn, please tell us about this game.
I don't know much about it yet. It just seemed really weird. so the creators of Pokemon are teaming up with, I think it's Tecmo, who makes the Samurai Warriors series, and they're making a game called Pokemon Plus Nobunaga's Ambition.
What?
Which is, do you know the Samurai Warriors games?
No.
Do you know Dynasty Warriors?
Yes.
It's the same thing.
So it's literally Pokemon creators mixed teamed up with the Samurai games. Not to make a new thing, but to make a Pokemon Samurai game.
So can I play
it's a crossover.
Okay.
So can I play as like a Blastoise and kick the crap out of everybody?
I have no idea.
That'd be kind of cool.
The poster's very confusing, because it has like two little kids in Samurai armor, who are, I'm guessing, the characters you choose, because they look like the basic like Pokemon characters that you choose as being in the game. Then there's like Nobunaga and a couple other recognizable characters from the series. There's like five Pokemon from the first 150 Pokemon, and then there's just one legendary from the fifth generation of Pokemon.
So it's just this weird, like,
and it doesn't make any sense to me.
I just love that for me, like, following the Pokemon series just because of your interest in it. It's like every single time, like, nothing changes. So finally, they decided to like change it up, and this is what they land.
It doesn't make any sense.
What the hell?
I have no idea how this game is gonna play, or if it's even gonna leave Japan. But
yeah, I don't think it has a hope in hell of making it to America.
I don't know. There's so many like Samurai Warriors spinoffs that have been released in the U.S.
as well. Okay. I don't see what the market is for this.
I don't either.
Well, you put Pokemon on anything and a billion people will buy it.
True, I'll buy it.
Don't you want to play as like a Charizard and breathe fire all over?
You're not going to be able to play as a Pokemon.
You might be able to.
I don't know that.
Probably not, though.
That would be like, how would they make that?
Yeah, I'm guessing you do play as
It's just going to be a Pokemon game. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Boo.
Sort of. Well, not.
I want to breathe fire.
I'm guessing it's going to be Pokemon, but somehow also Dynasty Warriors, like third-person beat 'em up combat.
I mean, that or a stealth-based RPG. Either way, I'm
in. Yeah, yeah.
At this point, we have no idea.
Oh, it's so confusing.
I guess we'll wait and see.
Though my favorite part is that the, like, female choice of avatar has, like, a pink cape and purple samurai armor. It's just like some little girl. I don't know. For I have no idea what the game is about.
Edging to play their samurai Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Hey, so next up, we're going to talk a bit about SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, a piece of legislation that is trying to get passed in the United States.
And for what little I know about it, it's just terrifying.
It's just not a good, it's not a good law or a set of laws.
Can you mention this a while back?
It's been in development for a while.
Okay.
We talked about the changes that were being introduced in Canada.
Right, that was it.
These are just like those, but worse. And lovely. Only regarding to the internet, though.
Yeah, lovely. Like, because, yeah, this is just in the States, but I'm just worried that, like, it's not that difficult for, if all of the, I don't know, if all the big industry leaders and that are, like, edging for this, then it's like, well, America has this, and I feel like a lot of Canada wants to be like, well, if they're doing that, we may as well do that, too. Like, I know, like, our elections are going to be, like, slowly going to be more like the Americans and stuff, so, like, if they're doing stuff that's, like, this big, I feel like it has to have some sort of...
And
effect
yeah,
on us.
Yeah, and plus this is going to affect all sorts of American websites and content producers that we go to and use. One of the worst things about SOPA is this ability that they have where if a company claims that there's an infringing piece of content on a site...
Say YouTube.
YouTube's a bad example because that's a big company. Let's say on Hex 19...
Oh, sure.
I put up a picture that someone took at the VGAs and Spike says... that infringes on our copyright because that was our show.
Yeah.
Even though it's fair use, or even if I had a picture of my dog and they said, hey, that's Spike the dog. That's our dog.
Okay.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, I see it.
They file a claim and SOPA allows the government to expunge your website from the DNS records and just black hole it off the internet.
Like, without even, like, a huge, like, they don't even have to really investigate it.
And then after, they'll investigate it.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's
guilty until proven innocent,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Jesus.
So, that's why sites like Wikipedia aren't too happy about this,
yeah.
Because their entire website could just disappear based on one piece of content that isn't necessarily even infringing, or could be fair use. So,
I mean, like... Like, I'm sure even if they go through this and then there is an actual formal investigation, based on the mindset of what's developing this app, based on what's developing this law and the set of laws, and, like, seems who's behind it, I have no faith that after so they take down your website, and it's like, oh, well, but don't worry, we'll do a formal investigation. If you're fine, you'll get your website back. I feel like that's going to be so half-assed, or, like...
It's going to be such a drawn-out process. It's going to take so long.
Or even just, like, the grounds for, like, what the law they make of, like, what is actually infringement is going to be... That in itself could be BS, so they could then have this broken system where you can take down a website and then have this shitty set of rules that decide your website should have been taken down. It's like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot... I probably should have added this as a story, but there's this thing going on this week with Mega Upload.
It's
kind of related.
I heard something about... Go on.
They hired a bunch of artists to record, like, a Mega Upload music video. I think it was, like, Will I Am and some other dudes.
Oh, sick. Okay.
And, yeah, so, yeah, it was cool. I was like, go to Mega Upload to download your files. So then Universal Media Group filed a DMCA takedown on it, claiming it was their content.
What?
And
was it their content?
No. Just, it was their artists, but they weren't singing songs that Universal owns, or they were just doing an ad for Mega Upload.
Okay.
So that's, like, that's really sketchy, because Mega Upload is obviously a competitor to Universal Music, because it's, like, a different
alternative way
to download shit. So they, like, people are saying that maybe they just filed that takedown to put themselves at advantage, and, like, it's the rule with DMCA that if you file a takedown, you have to take it down and then file your counter notice.
Oh my god.
And, like, yeah, it just was not good. And then Adding to the ridiculousness, Tech News Today covered the story and played a short clip of the video in the episode, and Universal Music filed a takedown notice on their YouTube on that video, and YouTube took it down.
For TNT?
Yeah.
For the Twit video, that got taken down?
Yeah.
Like, the official Twit?
Yeah.
What the hell?
No, oh, no, not, wait, not the whole channel, just that video.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying, but, yeah. Like, so just from covering the story...
Yeah,
because they played a clip.
Assuming that was...
That's effed up.
Assuming that was Universal's content, it's still fair use to play that if you're covering it in a news story.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even Universal's content to start with. It doesn't make any sense.
See, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this whole thing is just broken. There's...
Yeah,
and I... just with... Yeah, with, like, with big companies and stuff like that, I have no idea how any of this shit works, but it feels like you just... If you invent these ways for people to do shady stuff, they're obviously going to take advantage of it, because if it's in the law, it's there's no, like, moral thing of, like, not doing it. If you give them the right to do this, why wouldn't they do this?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying.
So Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, the founder, said that they might be taking down the entire website for a day as an act of protest, which would be pretty awesome if, like, every single person trying to go to Wikipedia was just like, hey... You can't do this because there's these new laws coming that could fuck us up.
Yeah, that would be...
That'd be a good way to get the word out.
There's a great comment on Reddit that was like, no Wikipedia, during finals week! No! but if you do live in the States, take some time write your congressman or senator, or there's petitions you can sign and stuff.
We should take down X19 for a day as a sign of protest.
Oh no, our one reader/listener will be so disappointed.
I just think it's absolutely terrifying that, like, Twit, which is relatively tiny, as, like, Tom Ayers pointed out, like, they're a niche audience, according to him. I don't know much about it, but, like, they're a small thing, they're a small group of people really passionate about this who want to make their network bigger, and from this law, they got a video taken down, so that's hindering their ability to grow as... Especially at TNT as a show, they can't grow as a news source if their shit's being taken down. So it's terrifying that, like, this is actually... Because, like, you hear about this, but you think, like, oh, it's not going to apply to me and my small website. But if Twit got targeted, like, that means anyone can get targeted, and that's terrifying.
Yeah, like, I don't know if this is still the case anymore, because I haven't been following it recently, but I know that in the past this was the case where, like... Posting a Playview or something on YouTube is copyright infringement under SOPA.
Yeah.
Or, like, screenshots or anything.
Yeah, like, but, like, but what's so...
Mods.
Yeah.
And what's so stupid about that is Skyrim's a perfect example where in Reddit, everyone's saying, like, I had no interest in Skyrim, and then I came and I saw these screenshots, I watched these videos, and now, oh my god, I'm gonna buy this game, specifically because community people were just making cool stuff with it. Mm-hmm. And so for these companies to then make this claim that that's hindering it, like, that's the whole idea behind this, is that, oh, if people do this, we're losing out on business. That in itself is flawed logic, but because of that, like, flawed assumption, they're able to now have all this power over other stuff that doesn't even apply to the central issue. Yeah. It's terrible where this is going.
It's frustrating and disappointing. Yeah. And
I think just the scariest part of that is we're abandoning innocent till proven guilty. In this, like, making new laws.
Well, yeah, it's only because it applies to the internet, which is, like, this new thing that doesn't apply to...
Internet is in the real world, we can change the laws for there.
Yeah, and, like, I've read these stories about, like the first days of the internet was awesome, because everything was, like, it was new territory, people had no idea, but now as it's growing to be this huge thing, if it's going to be controlled like this, the internet as we know it will actually... cease to exist. And just thinking that this is actually getting as far as it is, like, at first it's conspiracy theories and, like, but it sucks that if videos are being taken down, the internet could at a point just break. If this is going to get into law, then what can you do about it, because it's in the law?
You're killing the internet, America.
Stop.
You're
it.
You're killing the internet.
So, kind of related story, we mentioned it before, Louis C.K.
oh yeah, I guess this works.
Yeah. So he's kind of on the good guy's side when it comes to piracy and DRM. Yeah. So for his most recent comedy special, Live at the Bacon Theater, excuse me, Beacon Theater, He released it just via his own website, didn't use a distribution deal or anything, and it's without DRM, and it's only $5. And apparently it was very successful.
Yeah, it did really, really well. So I found the story on VentureBeat where his special made $500,000 in just 4 days, which was like, and the whole story was just saying, like, that's unbelievable. And from that, it linked to his official statement on his website, which this is an awesome read, because it basically just starts off by him saying, so I had this idea from the get-go, like, I want to produce live at the Beacon Theater by myself, I want to do it, I don't want to be involved with any of this. So it wasn't even like he made this and then, like, through an act of protest, was like, I'm just going to do it myself. He actually set out, like, Live at the Beacon Theater was this experiment that he wanted to try of, I want to see if I can do this by myself, going to set the price really low, going to make my own website, going to do all this, and we'll see how it does. Because, and essentially what it came down to was that him charging at $5 and having no DRM, he worked it out to, he actually made more money than he would have made with a big company.
Yeah, selling it for $25 or
whatever. I mean, The weird thing about this is that he is, like, this big celebrity, so he had to invest, like, $200,000 in this, or, like, he put a ton of money into this, but still, after all that, he was able to make more money than he would have if he went with, I don't know what company would do that, those kind of specials, but he made more money than being with this big guy doing a $5 price range. And, like, we've been talking about before with video games stuff, like, how do you stop piracy? And, like, one of the simple things is just lower the price. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he was saying, like, in my experience, my special would have costed about $30 around there, $20, and you could have gotten online with DRM and all this stuff, but I'm just going to try this. I have no idea what I'm doing with any of this. I'll just put it out there for $5. And, yeah, and what's really cool about this is that with the statement, what I realized that big companies don't offer, or what they can't do, is that Louis C.K. in this product, he was able to, in saying, like, I did this myself, he put, like, a lot of, there was, like, heart and, like, personality to it. So, like, mm-hmm. in buying that, I really felt like I'm supporting this guy, so I want to pay $5 because I love this guy. And he's saying, look, please, like, I did this, please just give me money, don't pirate it, please, just, here, just $5, all I'm asking, don't pirate it. Just tell your friends, please, $5 is all I'm asking. And with that, I felt like, yeah, I'll give you your $5.
And, yeah, even just the way it's set up to download it, he made it, like, so easy. Like, you get a download, and if for some reason you lose that, you can even download it again if you want to. You can stream it, just watch it on the website.
Yeah, you get, they upped it. I think they might keep upping it, but I think now it's at, like, you get 5 streams and 5 downloads.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, so, like, with that, at first I was weird, I was like, oh, they're limiting it, but I realized, like, well, I could just pay $5 and download it to all you guys if I wanted to. But yeah, just the idea that they're gonna, like, they make it super cheap and super easy to do, where it's like, sure, you could pirate it, I guess, but look how easy it is, and it's just $5, please, just, and yeah, by him having a face and being an actual person, I was able to actually connect to that and want to give him money.
Mm-hmm. Rather than those non-faceless people.
Yeah.
Give them money.
I think that this trend has been, like, rising in gaming exactly. as well, for example. Like, indie games have been on the rise, like, a ridiculous amount for the past few years. Like, you'll pick up, like, Super Meat Boy or something for $15, there's no DRM, and it's an awesome game. And they probably make, like, as much money as some of the bigger developers.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, like, with the...
I seriously doubt that.
On some games.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, looking at the Humble Bundle, like, you could, if you wanted, just pay nothing. Pay zero and get 5 games. But in, like, the first day, they made, like, $500,000 or something like beyond that. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Because, like, with Humble Bundle, I feel like it's just people being honest of, like, look, yeah. we made this game. Like, we made this. We're doing it for a good cause. You don't have to support us, but, like, why wouldn't you support us? It's like, yeah, obviously I'm gonna support you. And it's like, they set it up in such a way that, yeah, you don't feel like, you never feel like you're being ripped off when, like, helping this out. So, like, it's all just good, positive energy for everyone. And so I just think it's interesting that if we're gonna have these developments with SOPA and the industry is gonna be making these arguments, I think it's an awesome trend that, you know, big celebrities, Louis C.K. isn't quite at that threshold, but if we get more people basically protesting and being like, I'm not going to go with a big company, I'm going to do this, use it, and show that I can make money, that I can succeed as an artist, it can maybe highlight the fact that the industry isn't dying. It's just that the model of having these big companies, like they're the ones who are afraid, having that, it's not working anymore. And so we shouldn't be giving them more power when it's clearly possible if Louis C.K. is able to make all this money. So I just want to see the trend, yeah, really rise to prove, like, no, there's a way to do this.
Okay, our final story of the day. We're talking about a new movie trailer that's out for Indie Game The Movie.
Yeah, so this is a Sundance... It was a Sundance pick. It's basically... Glenn, you've been following it, apparently, for a while.
For a couple years.
Really? Okay, so yeah, so the synopsis is you're just following the development of... I think it was three developers. You have...
Three or four.
Yeah, namely the developers of Super Meat Boy, Braid, and Fez, which is an awesome game that we've been seeing at... Was it one of the PAX 10?
Yep.
Yeah, which is like... It's like this weird side-scrolly, but also 3D, and you're changing things. It just looks really awesome. So yeah, it's these really big-name indie games that you get to watch their development, and you see their story, their struggles, and... Yeah, so we saw the trailer, and I just think it looks so awesome. Like, a movie I love is King of Kong, which is, like, the only other video game movie that I know about.
Super Mario Brothers.
Right. Whereas King of Kong is just, you're just watching people play Donkey Kong. But with that, there's, like, a story behind it, and you care about these people. And so, yeah, I'm so excited just to see this awesome story about really cool people, but it just so happens to be that they're making these amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as I saw it on Kickstarter, I supported it instantly, because I'm really interested in making my own games, and seeing how they do it would be awesome. I know that they're eventually going to release the Special Edition DVD, which has... not sure how much more, but a few extra hours of, like, interviews with other developers. Like, there was a list of, like, 50 different indie developers that they went and interviewed just for the, like, special edition extras. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and just, like, the way the movie's handled, it looks like it's shot beautifully, like, and, like, obviously, like, set up in certain spots, it looks, like, super introspective, and just, I love the idea that they're really pushing, at least with this movie, it seems, that indie games is a form of art. And actually being able to see these developers as artists is something that's so cool and would be really eye-opening just for me to really appreciate that this tiny little game that I played for like 5 minutes or whatever, didn't care about, saw a YouTube video of, like, fully appreciating what went into that, I think is something that's so needed for the industry to explode and for me to fall in love with this. And I'm just so excited for what I think will be a pretty awesome experience. Mm-hmm. And it seems... I think it's available for pre-order on DVD, and you can also, there's, same thing they did with, like, Paranormal Activity, you can request, like, a screening stuff. I don't think we'd ever be able to get.
We should get one here.
If we could, at U of A, it could be cool.
The only one I know of so far is in Winnipeg, so we could drive down there.
Wait, it's in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
We're better than Winnipeg. That would be awesome, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, the trailer looks really cool. I'm excited for the movie to come out. One thing I will say is I think the title was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I think they could have definitely picked something more interesting or not.
Literally, Indie Game, the movie.
It gets the point across.
Yeah, but it could use some flair. Like, the King of Kong.
Yeah, like, and that's
a fistful of dollars.
That's clever. Quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, there could have been something in there, obviously. Yeah, it definitely, like, when I see Indie Game, the movie, I was like, oh. But then watching the trailer, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit underwhelming, but...
I need to make people watch this. I was trying to explain to my sister why I got BitDrift, and she's like, this is like an 8-bit game. Like, why the hell would you pay for this? I just couldn't vocalize what makes indie games awesome. So I'm going to make everyone I know watch it.
Yeah, and also just like with King of Kong, what's so cool about that is just you see people who are just super passionate about video games, and it makes you want to play video games. So this is just going to be that, but bumped up to a whole other level of people spending... 4 or 5 years of their life just doing this thing. And yeah, I'm looking forward to being inspired by this, maybe getting more excited about the possibility of making games like Glenn's doing. So it's gonna be a movie for our generation for a lifetime.
Okay. And on that note, that wraps up our news segment. Next up, the critical hit.
What
Welcome to the Critical Hit. We are talking about the Spike VGAs. They occurred last week on December the 10th. Spike, along with many industry journalists and important type people, they picked the top games in many categories and also announced a whole lot of new games. So, who out of us actually watched it?
I did not watch it.
Okay, I watched
it. So Glenn and I watched it. You guys, though, heard and saw about lots of the announcements.
I heard about some of them.
I am... My role in this conversation will be to react to the announcements, because I have no idea about anything, pretty much.
Okay, so let's just get started with the announcements, and then after we'll talk about the actual show. Because the announcements are the thing that's actually worth talking about. Interesting. So
first, though, let's start off with saying they should stop that virtual reality thing.
What a virtual reality thing?
They have, like, 3D things, like, floating around the convention center. It's like, and well, in front of me is the dragon from Skyrim. And it's just, like,
it's awkward, like, frozen 3D. Up above the crowd, yeah. Like,
and as the camera rotates, it kind of, like, twitches as it tries to keep up.
It's literally, like, why would they put these here when video games now look 10 times better than these?
Okay.
It's like, oh, so they superimposed a 10-year-old video game on top of this award show. Good.
Yes.
With that out of the way, let's get to the announcements.
Yep.
Just going in chronological order, the first one, Sony and Naughty Dog announced what their new project is, The Last of Us, which is a new zombie game, because we didn't have enough of those.
Clearly.
Yeah.
It the trailer looked like it made me think Dead Island. But it's, I know that if anyone can pull off a game based on a trailer like that, it's going to be Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like very much like a family surviving.
So, and Naughty Dog did Uncharted?
Yeah.
Right?
And
so
Jack and Daxter.
Crash Bandicoot.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, like, as I said with Dead Island, what I wanted was a zombie game with a story. That's what I was looking forward to. So hearing...
The story in Dead Island was so bad.
No, exactly. So hearing that the people behind Uncharted, which is this huge adventure game, that was zombies. I mean, yeah, obviously overplayed, overdone, but there has to be a reason that they're going to pick this thing. I'm hoping that they're going to innovate somehow.
Yeah, that's the big worry when another zombie game comes up. What are they going to do that separates it from other zombie games at this point?
They've been saying that, like, they're going to focus really hard on story, and, like, that's mainly what they've been working on for, like, the last 2 years.
Okay, that's
just,
awesome.
Like, the story of the game.
Yeah.
So that's
cool. And with, like, Walking Dead now being super popular as it is, it's the right time for it.
Yeah.
Honestly, with, like, how good Uncharted looks, I'd be happy with just Uncharted with zombies.
Yeah, and the trailer that they showed was, like, all in engine on PS3 stuff. Like, it wasn't a pre-rendered. So
it
was like,
it looked good?
Yeah.
I think it was basically like, hey, Dead Island.
Okay.
Your trailer is CGI, this is in-game.
Nice.
Like, what is up? I would have rather seen something else from them.
Yeah. I'm bored of zombies. I've never liked zombies.
That's like,
a lie.
I know it's gonna be good, but I would have rather seen a different game.
Yeah.
Now, what else was announced?
There was the new BioWare game.
True.
Which was a big surprise to
me. Really kind of random.
Yeah, they're making Command & Conquer Generals 2 or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's a sequel. What? They're making a sequel to a real-time strategy game that came out in 2004 on PC.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of Command & Conquer, but... What?
Yeah.
I remember playing Command & Conquer.
So, I mean, what I'm hoping happens here is, in the past, BioWare would, like, make an RPG... And then Obsidian would make a mediocre sequel to that RPG.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that what happens is a mediocre game has a sequel made by BioWare, and BioWare makes it awesome.
Right. the inverse process.
Exactly.
They're inverting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed like a really brief teaser of it, I guess. But the game's going to be in the Frostbite engine, which is the Battlefield 3 engine, which is interesting for a top-down RTS.
Oh my god.
So it's going to have, like, crazy destructibility and graphics.
Oh, that's... Okay.
One thing, it's not, like, BioWare proper that's making it. It's this new BioWare Victory studio in California or something.
I have no idea where it is.
So BioWare has, like, multiple things now?
Yeah, they've got, BioWare in Canada, which is, I think, where they do, like, most of their RPGs and stuff.
Edmonton, they've got, Montreal.
Yeah. In Austin, they do Old Republic, and then in California or wherever this new one is, they're going to be doing RTS games or something.
They also showed off some new Mass Effect 3 gameplay.
Gameplay.
Oh, I saw that trailer, which is just like.
Oh, it looked like
just QuickTime events. After it didn't look like anything, but it looked like
it was
epic.
A really cool cutscene.
Yeah,
the cutscene was awesome.
Yeah,
but it was like cutscene, run, cutscene.
I think part of that
run.
Like they wanted to show you the gameplay, and he was just running because if he actually took time to fight all those enemies in between, the gameplay footage would be like five times as long. Yeah. So it was like, okay, well, it's just this is what in-game looks like. Let's just get the next cutscene. Just sprint by all the bad guys.
Sure,
so.
Yeah.
And they needed to pick something that's going to demo well in 30 seconds to people that know
nothing about
it.
It was an epic, awesome moment.
If it's you sitting behind cover for 30 seconds while you wait for your shields to recharge.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, check how slick this new inventory system is.
Okay. Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a Thresher Maw fighting a Reaper, so go watch it. It's
awesome. Yeah, it makes me worried just because it pretty much ensures that they're going down this path of making their game more action-oriented and less RPG-like, but...
We'll see. We'll see where it goes, but still excited for Mass Effect 3.
So, we also saw a trailer for the new Rainbow Six game that's coming out. Rainbow Six...
Something.
Are these relevant at all anymore?
Because they just had Rainbow Six Vegas, and those games are quite well-received.
Okay.
This new one, Rainbow Six Patriot. The trailer looked cool.
I honestly don't remember the trailer.
They were, like, doing this crazy shit with this guy, and... And then they threw him out the window, and he just, like, landed on the street.
I remember that, yeah.
Like, it looked cool. It had nothing to do with gameplay or the game or anything, but it was just, like, a little story.
It's just, like, intrigue.
Yeah. So, like, where does the Rainbow Six take place? Is it, like, where is it set? Is it, like, in a set place? I don't know.
The last two have been in Vegas.
Yeah.
But
true. But then, okay, so,
this
like...
This one looks like New York.
What's the story of it, then? Like, who are you fighting?
Just terrorists.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Standard FPS.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was, like, a home front type thing. Where we're being invaded. No. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, like, counterterrorism.
Okay.
Special attack force, whatever you're called. Spec Rainbow
Ops.
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Looks neat.
There's the new game from id, right? Or is it id? Who made Gears?
Epic.
I got them mixed up.
Yeah.
What's their new game called?
Fortnite.
Oh yeah, you were pretty excited about this.
Yeah. Well, I'm very intrigued. It basically looks like a mashup of Minecraft, Left 4 Dead, and Team Fortress.
Whoa.
None of those mean anything to me.
It's
What?
You go out during the day.
So it's
you
a zombie
like,
game?
Scavenge materials, and then you build your fort, and you have to survive the night when all of these
Send
like weird
zombies,
shadow zombie creatures come.
Yes, please. What the hell?
And it's got like the Team Fortress 2 like animation and look to it and stuff.
Oh, that like cartoony-ish?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Made by Epic?
Yeah, like...
What the hell?
If this game wasn't being made by Epic, I would probably just be like, oh, this is going to be stupid. But knowing that it's freaking Epic making this game, like, I'm excited.
No, yeah, like I've said before, like, there are concepts that Minecraft has introduced, but at the end of the day, it's Minecraft, so it's not, like... But knowing, like, if Epic's going to... I don't know, if Epic's going to make a Minecraft ripoff, oh god, yes.
We also saw a new trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm excited for this.
This trailer looked really bad. He was fighting robots the whole time.
That's pretty much all Spider-Man ever is. He always just fights robots. Yeah, seriously.
Though, what I did like about this was like it showed him fighting like a massive like building-sized robot.
Yeah.
And it seemed like when you were swinging, you were actually like attaching to his arms and legs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which seemed really, really cool.
But honestly, can they just take a page out of Arkham's book and know that, like, just cram this with real villains that people recognize?
Yeah, I don't remember that many robots from the comic books. So...
in the trailer, it was like, Oscorp just developed millions of robots.
Yeah, no, that is every Spider-Man game I've played. It's always just random robots, but the combat means nothing to me. I just want swinging.
Yeah, that's really what the game is going to be about.
It does look better than the one that came out this year.
Yeah. Because, for me, like, what I loved about Spider-Man 2 was actually, like, I just powered through the storyline because that was all, you're in a small building, you're punching people, this is whatever. But where the game really shines, and I hope they have this again, this mechanic of, it's basically like the Assassin's Creed thing where you just have this world and there's little side missions of like, hey, help me. But it was really cool because you'd basically just be swinging, along and you'd hear like, I'm being robbed or something. Like, it'd be like this really small little crime that you are just helping. So with that, you get into this mode of, I'm going to swing around because that's fun, and then I'm going to just help defend the city and fight crime. So it was like this, it felt like a real Spider-Man experience of like what that would actually be like. And whereas, the big robots and whatever, that was all just like crazy over the top. But actually getting into, like, if there's cool side missions, or, like, I even just love the, like, race missions, because it forces you to just do cool stuff. I love all that. So I don't, if it's talking about robots, sure, whatever. I just want the core mechanics to be there.
Yeah, I do really think they should take a page out of the, like, Arkham series. Like, don't make it dark and gritty and stuff. Like, you can still keep it, like, lighthearted Spider-Man, but make it enemies that make sense.
Yeah.
Don't just throw random robots
and
at us.
It constantly would be so easy to, like, include so many villains, because that's an actual thing that happened in the comics. It was like Doc Ock just, like, contacted all the villains that hated Spider-Man. I was like, hey guys, wanna all team up? So, like, that is...
Well, I feel like that's still a possibility for them to do. It's weird that they wouldn't announce that, though, so I guess that...
Yeah,
hurts our chances.
Like, it focused so much on robots. I think that robots are going to be the main enemy in the game.
Okay, so on some news that Brett will be very excited to hear about, we saw the debut of Alan Wake, American Nightmare.
Oh, sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron likes that game.
I like that game.
Yeah. It looks cool. He's, like, in Arizona now or something.
Okay.
Now, is that, like, a full, like, disc game sequel, or is it like an Xbox Live?
It's going to be Xbox Live exclusive.
Okay.
But I think it's still going to be like a big full game.
Like a full
$60. Okay, so it seems like it could be like they're going to try out this new thing of what if we just have a game on Xbox Live, and this just happens to be Alan Wake, but that might not deter from it. That's really cool.
I seriously doubt it will be $60. I think it'll be
in that level of game. Yeah, it's a caliber. Full game.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't that interested in Alan Wake before, but now seeing like that they explain the story a little bit in the trailer for the second one, where there's like a shadow version of him that's trying to mess everything up. Like, that actually sounds interesting.
I actually forget the story of Alan Wake, but yeah, it's this really cool thing. Like his wife goes missing, and just like, it's almost this Silent Hill-esque where he's just in this crazy town and just like weird stuff is happening. He has no idea why. And he's not this big, like,
writer.
He's just a writer, and he has to try and figure this out. So it's on this super small scale that makes it super, like, it just makes it everything really epic that's happening, because it's happening to just some guy. Mm-hmm. So everything's a lot more scary, or, it's just a really cool experience.
You're not in a huge armored suit. You don't have a huge gun with a chainsaw on the front. You're just a guy with a flashlight.
Yeah.
Go!
Yeah, and the actual, just the mechanics of, like, what you're fighting, the, like, shadow creatures and stuff, is just really interesting, and how the story behind that is really cool. So, yeah, I'm very excited for more Alan Wake story and mechanics that they could introduce.
Yes. So, we also saw a new Bioshock Infinite trailer.
There's a new trailer for that?
There's a new trailer, but it didn't really seem to have any new stuff in it. Like, that's gonna be in there. It was new footage, but of mostly of stuff that we've seen before.
So we still have to, like, remember, like, there was a trail of, like, wait, there's time travel in this? What?
Time travel.
Like, there's going to be so much in this game, I think.
I'm so excited.
What else did we have?
There was an announcement. I'm not sure if it was an announcement or not. Okay. I was sort of confused. During Joker's little segment he did for Character of the Year.
Oh, that was a joke.
Was it a joke?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a joke.
Was it, though?
Okay, well, what is it?
He picked up a script for Arkham World.
Whoa.
And
that's
then
a joke.
Just dropped it.
No, because even what he was saying, like, I won't be needing this anymore if I win the award for best character or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he won, so we won't meet it. So that game's not happening anymore.
Okay. But, like, if they, like, in a month, like, released a trailer for Arkham World...
It was a joke.
I don't know.
We also saw there's a new all-CGI trailer for the new Transformers game, Fall of Cybertron. It kind of felt like they're trying to rip off the Gears of War style of, like, put an emotional song over fighting.
Yeah.
And slow okay. motion.
That's exactly what it was.
And they did a good job of it. Like, it looks cool, but...
They really... did a good job of ripping it off. I mean...
Yeah, they did. Considering, like, the Mad World Gears of War trailer is cool because it kind of brought some emotion to this big gruff guy in armor.
Yeah.
This is, like, trying to bring emotion to robots, which is even harder to do, and they still... kind of achieve that.
Okay.
But it didn't tell us anything about the game because it's all CGI, so it'll probably be not a great game.
Yeah, I've never heard of, like, the other Transformers games, so I don't...
The last one was supposed to be alright, but not...
The ones that come out alongside the movies are terrible, yeah. But they've also been making new ones that they're just, like, releasing that aren't part of the movies, where you're just, like, fighting on Cybertron and in space. And...
Okay, that's pretty sick. Yeah.
Do you still turn into a Camaro in space?
You turn into a hover Camaro.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's good.
I think that's it. Or no, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Revengeance?
Yes. Seriously? It's Japanese. give it a break, man.
Revengeance? Okay.
It's unlike any other Metal Gear game, that's for sure. It's like swordplay.
What the heck?
It's like this
is it Samurais?
No.
Pokemon. My recording cut out right before that point, so I didn't get to see the Metal Gear stuff.
It just like looks really intense, like kind of like Devil May Cry or maybe what's that, Ninja Gaiden, like flipping around and doing crazy sword stuff against like people that are shooting you. It looked cool, but it's very Japanese.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be that, but in that same Metal Gear world with all those same characters.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Metal Gear.
So are you playing as, like, Raiden or something?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I was thinking you were Snake. You're not Snake. Like a knife or something. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks cool. Whatever. So, as far as the show goes, the awards, they really did not announce many of them on stage.
No.
They physically skipped over most of them.
Just to do the announcements?
Yeah.
Or to have, like, Hulk Hogan talk for 10 minutes longer.
Yeah, because that basically, for me, sums up what I picture the Spike VJs as. It's not an award show. They tack that on because that's a thing to do. And it's just Spike TV gets advertising money. Yeah,
like, this will give this infomercial some legitimacy.
Yeah.
Like, when I was watching it, I skipped over a lot of the... I skipped... Whenever someone who wasn't relevant went on stage to talk, I skipped over them.
Okay.
So it only took me about 40 minutes to get through the 2-hour program.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, what they would do is they'd have, like, here's a debut of something, here's Chuck telling some jokes, and then as they go to commercial, it's like, stay tuned. Also, Bastion wins Best Indie Game. Minecraft won, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, so... Like, literally, in the little commercial animation thing, that's when they announced most of their awards.
Yeah, and, like, do we know anything about how the awards are decided, or...?
Yes. It's a panel of 26 or 27, I think, video game-type people, just, like, from Joystick, IGN, GameSpot,
that's Kotaku. Awesome.
Steven Totello is one of them
nice.
That we met at PAX. Yeah, so it's... They're cool people.
Okay, so now I'm just even more angry at Spike, because it seems like this actually might have some legitimacy to it, but they've tacked it on to this horrible thing that I can't take seriously. Mm. But now I might actually, like, because basically, like, I look at these awards and, like, they're all meaningless, because they have Spike VJs on it. But knowing there's actual people behind it, I'm now curious about the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they gave the top accolades to Skyrim.
Yep, Game of the Year.
I think with the games they had nominated, anyone easily could have won, and I would have been like, oh, this is some BS. Because they didn't nominate, like, Call of Duty and Battlefield.
Wait, what?
It was all, like, actually good games that they nominated, like Portal and Arkham City,
Skyward Sword was nominated.
Yeah, too, right? Skyward Sword.
Which was awesome.
That's, yeah, that's solid.
Other awards of note, Glenn?
Oh, this made me so happy. It wasn't one that was announced on stage, but Bastion won Best Downloadable, Best Song, and Best Soundtrack.
I was really surprised they won Best Soundtrack over Skyward Sword. That was surprising for me.
Over Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
Like, the Skyward Sword soundtrack is good, but the Bastion soundtrack is amazing.
I know,
amazing.
It's great, well, I think it's mainly surprising because it's a Zelda game, and they're known for their music.
Yeah, so, and this one's, like, fully orchestrated. Like, they're really pushing that with...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it seems like video game music, like, it's around Zelda, so it's cool that this little indie game got it instead.
Yeah, well, like, with Bastion, it's mostly, like, one guy, and mostly acoustic, and it's fantastic. Like, the best song in a video game with actual singing that I've ever heard, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I'm just kind of perusing the list here. I was like, best performance by a human male. Like, what does that mean? But it's cool that Wheatley got recognized. He was awesome.
I was very disappointed. He did not deserve... Well, he deserved it, but he shouldn't have won.
Who else was there?
Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Okay.
It didn't make sense because they have an award for best character and the Joker won that. And Mark Hamill, like, makes the Joker and he didn't win best performance.
I think last time when Arkham Asylum was in, that was more of an upset because it was like Mark Hamill as the Joker or Jack Black in whatever video game he was in, and Jack Black won.
Yeah, Brutal Legend.
Yeah. Like, that was ridiculous. That was stupid.
I think that's because, like, it was actually Jack Black in the game. Like, I think they did, like, motion capture, so that's why they gave it to him.
Yeah.
Well, I guess... I think it's mainly because, like, the Mark Hamill thing isn't as well known as... I'm saying, like, Portal 2, like, that character is, like, so much more iconic than the Joker, I think. And, like, and the character's just, like, it's so new, and, like, he... because, like, we've had the Joker before, so it's not a new character, so just the novelty of Wheatley and, like, what he added to the game was so amazing, and, like, really, like, Portal 2 could have been awesome without Wheatley, but that they had him in and, like, how the story revolved around him was really, really awesome. I think it made the game what it is, and if Portal 2 is going to win, what is it, best PC game, then I think you have to give credit to, was it Stephen Merchant? Yeah.
Speaking of best PC game, I really want to talk about this, because I have no idea how they chose the nominations for best 360, best PS3, and best PC. It doesn't make sense
like
to me.
They throw, like, the exclusives in there, and then, like, somehow games that are more closely associated with that console,
yeah,
if
like,
they're cross-platform.
Arkham City is cross-platform, but it won best 360 game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, Skyrim is also cross-platform, and it wasn't on any of the lists.
But it got game. So maybe there's this. Maybe it seems like there's maybe this thing of if Skyrim's gonna win Game of the Year, we may as well recognize someone else for Best 360 Game.
But the nominations come out beforehand.
Yeah.
So,
like, it wasn't even nominated for anything.
Oh, what? Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I'm very confused about this.
Yeah, it seems like they just have a weird award structure then.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is gonna be so much better.
Oh, it'll be amazing.
One thing that was kind of cool, they started this new, like, Spike VGA's Hall of Fame or something.
Yes, yeah.
And the first thing they chose to induct into it was just the Legend of Zelda series as a whole. I don't really understand what, like, they're going for. Like, are they going to just be inducting series or individual games or, like, people?
Yeah, I don't... It just... For me, it just felt very weird of it. It was just like, and now we're going to... It was like, we're going to take credit for recognizing the best game, Zelda. It's like, well, no shit. Obviously. So I didn't get anything out of this.
But then, like, the video that they played was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, it went through a bunch of the Zelda games, and it was just, like, a voiceover of all the cool stuff about Zelda. And it was pretty neat, being like, oh, yeah, that game, that's so cool.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was awesome. It just feels weird, like, they're going to have this Hall of Fame... thing. And yeah, I guess it makes sense to induct Zelda first, but yeah, I'm curious to see what else it is. It's like Mario should be in there. Is it just like every Nintendo game is going to be in there? Or, yeah, I don't
know. Nintendo gets in.
But like, it was nice in the middle of an awards show that you think is dedicated mostly to like Bros and Gears of War and Call of Duty to have Shigeru Miyamoto go on stage and get a standing ovation from everyone in the room.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
Like, that was really, really cool to see. And gave it a little bit of legitimacy.
Yeah, well, I think what's weird with your point of it, it feels like it's for bros and for Call of Duty, because that's, like, what Spike is to me. And if they have, if they have Hulk Hogan, like, that's who they're marketing this whole experience towards.
It's like, hey, let's get a washed-up rapper to talk about how good he is at Call of Duty.
Yeah, and yet you have this panel who picked, like, Skyrim as Game of the Year, who's doing all these very smart recognitions. So it's like, I don't get what... Why are they... marketing...
It's like two separate demographics that don't really cross
over. I feel like these people in this panel just realize, wait a minute, Spike's... And this company is really stupid. Let's just do our own thing. Yes. Mutiny.
So, as far as the guest appearances go, so when you think video games, what celebrities come to mind?
Well, Felicia Day was there.
Okay, yeah, I'll get to her later.
Yeah.
But she's kind of different. But Hulk Hogan, yeah. For sure.
Yep.
Stacey Keebler, gotta have some of that in your video games. LL Cool J, I mean, what's a video game without him? Kevin Jonas, gotta have him there,
yep.
To introduce Rainbow Six, which I did not understand at all.
See, here's the weird thing about this list of celebrities.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, God.
What?
It's like, not only are they irrelevant to video games, but they're just irrelevant.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, who can we pay the least to do this job?
Honestly, I think that, like, last year with Arkham City, Jack Black winning over Mark Hamill, like, I think that they did that because they could afford to get Jack Black to show up and accept the award.
Well, apparently Mark Hamill and... whoever plays what's-her-face?
Catwoman?
No, the other...
Harley Quinn.
Yeah. They were there, and they, like, they were really mad about the way they were treated.
Yeah, I saw they were tweeting, or Mark Hamill was tweeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was tweeting, and he was all pissed off.
They, like, made them sit, like, in the bleachers, not, like, at floor level where all the tables are.
Like, they had some of the worst seats in the place, and then they weren't even told when the award was going to be given, which was not on stage during the show, so they didn't even know when the award was handed out.
Wait, was that this year or last year?
This year.
This year.
What?
Like, that just happened. So, like, the award was given, apparently, like, they did, like, a web... Like, they filmed it somewhere else to put it, like, on the website, and they had no idea the award was handed out. So you, like, you could have told us
there's
when or where.
No reason happening. For them to be there at all, yeah. And they gave them shitty seats for it.
What the hell?
Yeah, Zachary Levi, I thought, did a good job hosting.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely better than Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah. Like, still, some of the jokes they wrote for him were terrible, but he brought forth a feeling that, like, he is an actual gamer. One thing they had that was really stupid was if you took too long for your speech, they had a guy that would come teabag you. I was like when, like, Todd Howard and Bethesda went up, I was like, don't teabag them. Just, like, please, just let them finish. The only guys they did do it to for reals was Call of Duty. Okay. So I guess that was, like, a bit.
Sure.
It's still, like they did it to Chuck at the beginning, Zachary Levi, and, like, it kind of funny. It's not worth coming back to, though, which, they're like, we thought of this brilliant joke, we have to use it as much as possible.
Yeah, with that, it's like, I want there to be an Oscars for video games, and it feels like Spike is just stealing that. It's like, that's what we are, that's what we want to be. We have this awesome panel, we want to be that. And yet they're gonna invite, like, all these, like, awesome people in the video game industry and then just do stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you're just killing it.
Yeah, so Felicia Day, I don't know where they put her for the first three quarters of the show. Like, where was she? I don't understand.
She was, like, in some weird back room.
Yeah. But there are, like, a bunch of people there, too, watching.
Yeah. She's surrounded by people, not at the awards... But also near the awards? I don't know.
So, wait, so did she have, like, multiple appearances?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So throughout the show, she was doing these, like, real-life games based on their video game counterparts as kind of, like, joke bits. The first one was ridiculously stupid. They just, like, put on Spider-Man suits and jump that were made of Velcro
yeah.
and jumped onto a wall. Did you see it?
No, but I know what that is.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
That's like a thing.
So they did that.
They just like literally jumped once.
And they did
like,
it on Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They did like a cupcake eating conveyor belt contest.
For what?
Little Big Planet 2. Okay. I guess that's a thing in that game. I don't know. And the one that was actually kind of awesome was Fruit Ninja, because she just like had a samurai sword and was just like slicing fruit, and she was actually really good at it.
Were they actually like throwing the fruit?
Yeah, they were just chugging the fruit up, and she'd just be like, wham! And it was actually like slicing it clear in half.
That's sick. Sweet.
And like she was really good at it.
Yeah, you were saying it's because, or she mentioned because of her Dragon Age Redemption
yeah.
training. That's so badass.
Yeah, like when I saw they were going to do that, I was expecting like her just to miss like every single one, and this like
even, be
if,
like,
even
be
if
like,
she hits it, there's no way it's gonna
be like,
cut
oh,
it in
I'm,
half.
Oh, I'm playing Fruit Ninja, and I'm this girl who plays video games. Oh no, oh I missed. Oh, I'm so cute. Oh
yeah, but she was just like, wow,
that's awesome.
Listen now. And then finally, they brought her on stage at the end to introduce the BioShock Infinite trailer.
Nice.
And she probably should have just toasted because she would have done a better job. Maybe next year.
Hopefully next year they. I would like to see just, like, her and, let's say, like, Zachary Levi, because he was alright, and, like, one other person just do the entire thing. Because then I don't have to fast-forward over LL Cool J talking about Call of Duty.
I would just like to see the VGAs brought to you by the internet. I don't know.
Brought to you by Gillette. Something not video games.
I don't know, just... Like, I just want them to get away from Spike, but I feel like without Spike, this won't exist. But, because they, like, they have the money and they have the publicity to make this a big thing, but then they just do stupid stuff and I don't even care.
Oh, I think my favorite moment of the show, which I picked in my article, was when Hideo Kojima came up to introduce Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, and he just, like, his English is very bad, like, he doesn't speak English at all, really. And he just got, like, he stumbled over his words and somehow got into, like, a laughing fit. And he was up there for, like, a minute. And he was just like, I present to you... Sorry. It went on for, like, a minute. It was amazing. He was, I'm so sorry. It was pretty fantastic. Yeah, so, those were the Spike VGAs. Overall, pretty terrible. Yep. At their bright spots, were better than last year, so at least they are improving.
But hopefully overall, that continues.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not worth watching, but now knowing about who's actually behind it, worth checking out the list.
Yeah, the list is all right. Yeah, but as we mentioned, we don't understand how nominations work.
Yeah.
So. yeah, so those were the Spike VGAs. Stay tuned to Hex19. Later, when New Year, we'll be doing our personal Hex19 Awards. Very excited for that.
Are we going to have any guests? Will we have our own
Hulk
Hogan? Right?
Yeah,
will we assemble our own team of B-list celebrities? I think
and
so.
And unrelated guests?
Yeah, that would be fun. Yes,
that.
Let's do that.
We'll make get some high school teachers or something.
They'll know just as much about video games as the people who are on Spike.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But right now it's time for the final segment of the show, the FTL Drive. Welcome to the FTL Drive. First off, let's take a look at the calendar, what's coming up. Well, we did not prepare for this, unfortunately, so I don't have specific dates.
There's not much.
There's
no game release.
It's the holiday, yeah, the games
are
done.
Two movies you wanted to mention?
War Horse coming out on Christmas Day, I know. We got...
Sherlock Holmes came out the other day.
Yes, that is true, but Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as well coming out.
Yeah, big movies.
Mm-hmm. But Brett... Personally, what are you going to be up to this week? Getting ready for Christmas, or...?
Watching the League. I finally have it. I feel like there's no way for me to say this without it just being obvious, but yeah, I downloaded the first season of the League, because I don't really know how else to get it. Mm. If it's on Blu-ray or DVD or something, I'll happily go get it. But for the time being, yeah, have it. Gonna watch it. It's gonna happen. I'm rewatching Breaking Bad and loving every second of it. And oh my god, it's so amazing the second time around. And it's terrible. It's taking away from
Mass
everything.
Mass Effect. For the love of God.
But I want to rewatch Battlestar. What are you doing, Aaron?
Taking Mass Effect back.
No.
And hopefully getting to level 50 in Skyrim. I'll get that achievement and maybe start a new playthrough. We'll see. I don't know.
Maybe you should take a little break so you don't get burned out.
Burned out on Skyrim? Yeah. I'll play something different. Maybe I'll borrow Brotherhood and play that.
Mm-hmm. Or wink, wink. Remind me.
Or acquire Mirror's Edge somehow.
Maybe that'll be my Christmas present to myself. That and Arkham City. So, we'll see.
Glenn, what about you?
Old Republic.
Ah, that is expected.
Yep.
For me, probably can...
Don't say it. Halo Reach.
Oh, you guessed it.
You gonna set some more challenges?
I am.
Nice.
Many. Yeah, so next week on the show, we'll be releasing right around Christmas time. So stick around for that. We're going to be full of holiday cheer. We're probably going to bring out the eggnog, have a fun time. Hopefully we'll have my sister on as a guest.
Oh, awesome.
Because she'll be in town. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Okay, so if you want to find out more about Hex 19, you can visit our website, www.hex19.com. That's HEX19. There you can check out all the articles that we're writing, as well as past episodes of the podcast and some of our YouTube videos that we've been posting. You can also follow all of our Twitter pages there, or send us an email to hex19show@gmail.com. No big plans as far as content for Hex19. We're very busy with holiday-type things,
I believe, and
finishing finals up. But, still subscribe on RSS or whatnot. Keep visiting that homepage for cool stuff. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/hex19, or Twitter, twitter.com/hex19show. So, that does it for this week's episode of the Hex19 Geekcast. I'm Yuri Walkew.
I'm Rick Commander.
I'm Aaron Raham.
I'm Glenn Meyer.
And thank you for listening to Hex19. We'll see you soon.
It's an amazing smile. Even the suit has teeth. Everything flash and guile. Nothing underneath except a small black heart that no one sees but me. I've been watching, I can see you start to wonder. Could it be that you need me to keep you out, to run you faster? Promise me you'll let me be the one, the worst of all your enemies, pretending you're a friend to me. Say that we'll be never seen.
Want to see a movie for next show?
You should all play with the public.
Should see a movie.
We could see Sherlock Holmes. Or, I don't know what else is coming up.
We'll go to a movie
Mission
theater.
Mission Impossible?
And I'll put Old Republic on the movie theater, and then you can all watch me play it, and we can review it.
That sounds like Mission a terrible Impossible. Idea.
I'd rather see...
Yeah, I want to see Mission Impossible, Girl Dragon Tattoo, and...
War Horse.
Sherlock Holmes. And War Horse, actually.
I do not want to see
my favorite out of those would be Sherlock Holmes. I don't like Mission Impossible that much.
Okay, it's Steven Spielberg making a war movie. It doesn't matter if there's a horse in it or not. It's going to be good.
Now, is it war between horses?
No.
Like, is it Horse Wars?
No. Then it would be called Horse Wars.
I'd watch Horse Wars.
I would, too.
Yes, my old friend, you are a master of this game. The hidden